Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with George Wendt and Richard Thomas from the Roundabout Theater's national tour of 12 Angry Men. They will be talking to Tom Williams about the show now running at the LaSalle Bank Theater. Also, we have an audio review of 12 Angry Men. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. I'm here at the LaSalle Bank Theater with two of the stars of the brilliant courtroom drama, 12 Angry Men. Welcome to Chicago, Richard Thomas.
Good to
and
be here.
Welcome home, George Wendt.
Thank you.
I have to ask you guys, how do two film and television stars get involved in a dramatic play and a national tour? George?
Well, if I may just tell your audience, Richard Thomas has been on the stage since the age of eight and has never left. I mean, if anything, I think his body of work in the theater dwarfs even all the film and television he's done.
That's true. From looking at your background,
George,
you have this tremendous classical theater background, too.
I love doing it. It gives me pleasure. I don't do it. It's not altruistic. I dig it. It's the most exciting way to perform for me. So, and George, if how many thousands of hours on the stage at Second City?
Yeah, I wasn't doing plays at Second City, but I did 6 years at Second City.
And, yes, you did. I remember seeing you there.
I've done several plays as well. Live theater, of course, is the bomb. It's the way to go. It's by far the most fun thing that we do.
It's the interaction with the audience.
Yes, it's all about the audience. It's like a battery. I mean, a positive and a negative.
It's the only place where the actor gets to play uninterrupted from the beginning of the text to the end. I mean, your performance isn't fractured and shattered into a million pieces the way it is in film, which has its own challenges and rewards. But the idea of just getting on the stage and going, especially in a show like this where everybody's on all the time, the bar is raised high.
Certainly,
and it's exciting.
So tell us what people who have not seen 12 Angry Men or have not seen the film, there are people around who have, what can they expect from this production?
Well, it's about a capital murder case. It's set in 1954 in New York City on the hottest day of the year. And there is no air conditioning, and the fan is broken. And you have, because it was 1954, I think women were allowed to be jury members, but not, they were rarely serving as jurors in capital cases.
Right.
So it's 12 all-white jurors. Mostly middle-aged men. There's a few younger guys, but we all bring a lifetime of baggage to our preconceptions about the guilt or innocence of this young boy.
And George, you play the foreman, right?
That's
juror number one.
That's right. And a young boy, 16-year-old boy, has murdered his father, and we have to decide whether the boy goes to the electric chair or not.
And Richard, you play the character Henry Fonda made famous in the film, right?
That's
your number eight?
Number eight, the fly in the ointment, the one dissenting vote, the one not guilty vote. He doesn't vote not guilty because he's convinced of the boy's innocence. He just votes not guilty because 11 hands shoot up automatically for guilty, and he realizes that if he raises his two, the boy will, it's over, and he thinks there's room for talk. He doesn't want to send anybody to the electric chair without talking about it first.
Because what's at stake here? Because I know a lot of our audiences are a little more hip on courtroom dramas with all the Law and Order and television. Every other show on network television is a show like lawyer show.
Yeah.
But in this, the rules were limited. The choice was either he's guilty and he's going to get the electric chair, right?
Or he's acquitted.
Acquitted and he goes home.
Exactly. And, and you know, 11 guys don't even think it's necessary to talk about it. Let's get out of here. It's hot. Somebody's got to go to a ball game. They'll understand that on Sunday night.
And the prosecution gave a very convincing case. I mean, we're not just doing this voting guilty because we hate the boys' minority group or because... you know, we want to get out of there.
It looks open and shut.
What struck me is the writing is so strong.
Yes, it's wonderful. I mean, it's very much of its time in the 50s. The way we express ourselves and the style of the playwriting is very much in its period. But I find that very exciting and fun. What it opens up about all these men, it's really a character study about all these men. I mean, we reveal. It's about the men in the room in a funny kind of way. The case
definitely.
You know, it's about the information of the case, but it's about how we get to know who these men are.
Well, I particularly liked the way you played juror number 8 rather than being this crusader. You played him as it's a very kind of coldly and methodically. That you're analytical, you're this architect.
Exactly.
Didn't add up right.
I just think he wants to talk about it. I think he's open-minded. And I think he isn't a crusader. I think he hates the situation he's in. And my feeling about number 8 is like, oh, my God, how did you get to be in this situation where you're going to have to put your hand up and be the pain in the butt who creates a problem? And I think he's very reluctant. I don't think he wants to do it, but he has no choice. It's his conscience.
And, George, you play the jury foreman who is kind of laid back, but he's organized and he doesn't want any hassle. He just kind of wants it to just get over with, right?
Well, I have an opinion about the guilt or innocence, and I also have a vote, but I sort of approach it, you know, I think the foreman takes his task seriously of keeping the room in order and keeping the proceedings moving on. And, you know, when these, there are several bullies in the room, and very early on I call out one of the bullies.
Yes, you do.
And that does not go well for me at all. But I can't get out, so I'm stuck. My instinct would have been to leave, but the door's locked.
Yeah, I think juror number 1 has the hardest job in the room, which is to keep the peace in a play called 12 Angry Men.
And one of our other Chicago actors is in it.
There's a bunch of Chicago actors. There's
but David Lively.
Four other Chicago actors. David Lively, Mark Moratini.
Patrick New.
And that's right.
Jim Salturos.
Oh, I didn't realize the other two were.
Yeah, we're deep casting in Chicago here. And Scott Ellis is from DePaul, the director.
Now, were you fellas in the play in New York in Roundabout?
No, we weren't. In Roundabout, it was done like 2.5 years ago. There was quite a bit of time between the closing of the Broadway run and I was doing a show actually on Broadway I was doing a show called Democracy when this show was playing in New York.
But it was a big success, and because this is unique that a non-for-profit theater group would mount a national tour.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and it's wonderful, I think. Roundabout decided to do it, and I think it took a lot of guts, but I think that Todd Haynes understood that this material, this play, would work across the heartland. That this would be a subject matter and a style of playing and an exciting thing. It's brief, it's exciting, and I think he got it, that this would be a play for the country at large.
But you know, you realize that the star power of you two makes a difference.
I'm flattered you'd think that, and you know,
maybe, it's been said, and
maybe X percent of ticket sales are driven by the fact that Richard and or I are involved. But let's not forget, 12 Angry Men is a big brand in itself.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. I think it dwarfs what Richard and I would bring.
I agree. I think people love this play. It's a rare play that women don't have to drag their husbands to see.
Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorite all-time
men
plays.
Really dig this play.
Yes.
And it is. And they found that out when they opened it in New York. They decided to do the play. They thought, okay, well, let's see how it goes. And when they announced the play, the ticket sales immediately hit. It was the name of the play, as you say, George, the title of the play, the brand of the play, attracted people immediately.
Well, I was down waiting in the lobby here for the setup, and they were coming one after another. We were coming to buy
it. Well, it's a fabulous cast in New York, but nobody you'd particularly consider a name.
No. It was just a bunch of terrific
but,
New
you know,
York
the
actors.
Theory is, and you guys are cutting ground that's going to help a lot of regional theaters. I know the Goodman Theater here in Chicago and Steppenwolf are considering doing some national tours.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys are kind of be the cutting edge of this.
Well, I think it's an important thing because, you know, as much as we all love to be in the theater during a great an evening of musical comedy, which is terrific. It's, number one, not the only thing that should be coming out of New York. And as far as drama is concerned, in cities like Chicago, which is a great, you know, town, there are great resident companies and not-for-profit companies all over this country, and they represent the American national theater scene. And I think the more of them the tour, the better. It's tough, though. It's, I mean, the odds are long for a play.
And how long have you guys been on tour in this play?
About 4 months.
Tell us some of the some of what's going on when you're touring for long like this. How do you get up every night for a show? I mean, every couple of weeks you're in another city.
Yeah.
What kind of challenge is it?
It's it's just it's our job, and mm-hmm. We sort of build our day probably around the 8 o'clock curtain time or 7:30, whichever, and. We have a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, look, if you're not up for it, say, if you're beat and tired and, crabby, it kind of works. You know what I mean? You roll with that.
None of those men want to be in that room.
They've been in court all day. It's 5 o'clock, and we've been in court for 3 days.
And it's 100 degrees and there's no air conditioning.
And we all just want to get out of there and...
Yeah, it's a good way to be. It's a good place to begin the play. But don't you find, George, that the energy of the piece eventually, no matter how kind of beat you may be when you start, within a few minutes it just picks you right up.
Oh gosh, yes.
And we get it from each other. You have to look at one of the other guys, and the energy that's flowing back and forth between the ensemble.
And we could feel it in the audience.
That's great.
That's great. I felt like I might have to run up there and help you guys break up one of the fights or whatever. It's really a powerful piece of theater.
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and you guys must be very, very proud of the show. Yeah.
I am very proud of it. I'm proud of the whole company. I think it's an extraordinary company of actors. Scott said he was going to cast it from the bottom up right, and I think he did.
Yeah, there's not a weak person in the cast.
No. And everybody's got a hit. Everybody's got a
Everybody. That's
everybody's got to stand up and do it. Now. Everybody.
Well, George, you're not being the comic in the show.
No, I was actually asked to excise a laugh for the first time in my career. There was this sort of mystery laugh. It wasn't the slightest bit funny. I wasn't doing anything, but it was getting this inadvertent laugh in New Haven, our first more or less our shakedown for the tour. And so Scott Ellis said, we don't want to laugh there. And so that night, I just turned directly upstage and threw it away. And indeed, we did not get the laugh. And I was like pumping my fist. Yes!
Right.
First time in my career.
The first time after all.
I giveth and I taketh away.
That's fantastic. Let's go in a little bit of your background, because obviously everybody, George, knows you from Cheers.
Right.
And all the years on those. What do you think the Bears are going to do this week?
I hope they win. Let's play the game already. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. And Richard, everybody still remembers you from the Waltons.
Absolutely.
And you got an Emmy Award for that.
I did, in the first season.
Do you know that's still playing?
I do know it's still playing every morning on the Hallmark Channel. And they've released the DVDs for the first 4 seasons. And, you can run, but you can't hide.
But was that the big launching pad for your career?
Well, I'd been working for a long time
before that,
but that was unquestionably the biggest success I had had. I mean, that's a life changer and a career changer when you get in a
show. I thought it was a brilliant show, great cast and great writing.
It was. Thank you. I'm very proud of that show. But for any of us who have had the experience of being in a series, which for whatever mysterious reason, combination of elements, takes off and the public embraces. It's amazing the longevity of it, the staying power of it. It's incredible. I only did it for 5 years. I was finished in 1976.
Wow. And we still remember.
Absolutely.
Occasionally I'll turn it on, I'll see it on the cable. I can remember the episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's uncanny, and you just have to get out of the way and let it be.
And, George, the same with Cheers.
Yep. It was a blast. I still have dreams about it.
Do you really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Good or bad?
Good, they're always good. I'll wake up laughing, and I'll be laughing about something in the dream, and Jim Burrows will go, "Oh, that's great, that's great. You know what? We should put that in. Let's put that in." And then I wake up and there's no show to put it in.
Oh.
It's like,
okay, in the interest of time, because we're almost out of time, George, what do you consider your greatest accomplishment in as a performer?
Well, I think the no-brainer is Norm, obviously, Cheers, etc. I'm very proud of having been involved with Second City, very proud.
I remember you from that. Yeah. We knew that you were going to go places.
Yeah, well, we really feel like, we're the few, the proud.
Yeah.
Well, there's not that few anymore as the years roll by. There's,
yeah, that's true.
But, boy, they just keep coming out.
What an impact they've had on comedy.
Look at Colbert, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
he's like one of the leading forces of the culture these days.
Yeah, that's true. And, Richard, you did all the Shakespeare, and you've done a lot of... I remember you in All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, right, yeah.
Remember that?
Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
Well, there have been a lot of shows I've been proud to do. I'm currently most proud of the one I'm in now. But I'd have to say, to be able to just keep working over a long period of time, you know, to be able to just keep doing it, to not have to stop, you know, to never have been asked to stop is the thing that I'm probably
most proud of. You've been working
nonstop
since you're 8 years old, from my research.
Well, yeah, just six the first time I got on stage. I mean, I wasn't...
Well, we have a guy in the company, Alan Mandel, who's 79 years old, and Richard got his equity card before Alan.
Is that right?
So just standing, just to be still standing on stage and acting is a good feeling.
So you're here in Chicago in 12 Angry Men until...
Sunday the 11th.
Sunday
right?
the 11th.
February.
And, of course, it's at the LaSalle Bank Theater. And congratulations on a great career, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This show, folks, don't miss this show. It is a classic, and you get a chance to see two absolutely great actors among the cast of great actors, because everybody in the show is very strong.
Great.
Thank you,
gentlemen, for giving your time.
No,
and,
right.
Folks, remember, go see a play this week. Thank you.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another equable episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of February 5th, 2007. Steppenwolf Theater Company has announced 6 new ensemble members to join the Steppenwolf Theater Ensemble. Congratulations goes out to Ilana Arenas, Kate Arrington, Ian Barford, John Hill, Aura Jones, and James Vincent Meredith. The newest ensemble members were announced by Steppenwolf Artistic Director Martha Levy. She said the newest members received the blessings from Steppenwolf's founders, Gary Sinise, Jeffrey Perry, and Terry Kenny, as well as other ensemble associate artists. The 6 new Steppenwolf ensemble members joins the longest existing theater ensemble in the United States, which now holds a total of 41 members, including John Malkovich, John Mahoney, Tracy Letts, and Austin Pendleton. Pegasus Players is continuing their 28th season with the world premiere of Black Caesar, written by David Barr III. This world premiere is the African-American adaptation of Orson Welles' classic film, Citizen Kane. Black Caesar, written by David Barr III, who you may remember from his last production at the Pegasus Players titled The Upper Room. The Upper Room did win a Joseph Jefferson Citation Award for the Best New Play. David Barr III's Black Caesar will open on February 22nd and run through April 1st. For more information, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. We have learned that Chicago Public Radio's famous show, This American Life, will be debuting a new Showtime series, and in order to celebrate the debut, they will be having a special event at the Chicago Theater. This will be the first time that This American Life has been on the Chicago Theater stage in 4 years. And the show's host, Ira Glass, will be discussing the theme, What I Learned from Television. The tickets are already available for This American Life at the Chicago Theater. I believe this show is going to sell out, so if you would like to be a part of the theater and the radio, get your tickets for This American Life at the Chicago Theater today. The Chicago stage ticker is reporting that actress Felicia Fields has decided to leave the Broadway production of The Color Purple. Don't worry, however, she will still be coming to Chicago and reprising her role in the Chicago production. Remember, you can listen to our December 11th interview with Felicia Fields here at the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. Well, thank you very much for listening to this Equable episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Henry VI, Part 2, Act 3, Scene 3. "Forbear to judge, for we are sinners all." Well, we can't thank you enough for listening to our podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You are listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast. 12 Angry Men. Review by Tom Williams. The not-for-profit New York theater company, Roundabout Theater, presents a national tour of the classic courtroom drama 12 Angry Men, starring TV and film stars Richard Thomas and George Wendt. Director Scott Ellis has his veteran cast effectively build the dramatic tension to a fever pitch in Alan Moore's realistic drab 1950s Manhattan jury deliberation room. Even if you've seen the 1957 film starring Henry Fonda, this touring production is powerfully acted with its cast of solid actors, including Chicago favorite David Lively, Richard Thomas, who became well-known in the TV show The Waltons, and George Wendt, famous for his role on Cheers, were terrific. Wendt plays the jury foreman, and Thomas is juror 8, the person whose analytical probing leads to a confrontational deliberation. Since the case at hand is a murder trial, the jury can only choose innocent or guilty, and that verdict will either lead to acquittal or to the death penalty. The case seems open and shut, as the 16-year-old boy apparently stabbed his father to death after Dad slapped the boy in a rage. Wendt, as the jury foreman, is determined to have order and a quick verdict. The initial vote is 11 for guilty and 1 for innocent. Slowly, Thomas asks questions that cast doubt, as he argues the mere possibility that testimony from eyewitnesses may be wrong, thus casting a reasonable doubt as to the guilt of the teen. We see the frustration among the jurors, as most of their minds are closed to any possibility of the teen being innocent. Led by Thomas's juror 8, the heated debate ensues as hidden preconceptions and assumptions are questioned. Once each juror realizes that they could send a 16-year-old boy to his death, they must face themselves and their conscience. The brilliant writing, by Reginald Rose, many call 12 Angry Men the greatest courtroom drama ever, cleverly weaves facts and testimony with keen observations from several open-minded jurors into a complex cobweb that will have you on the edge of your chair wondering what will happen next. The biases and prejudices of several narrow-minded jurors emerge and add to emotional depth to the factual arguments of the case. The terrific veteran cast delivers their characters deftly. 12 Angry Men is a timely, riveting drama that will get you thinking about your preconceptions and stereotypes. It is a reminder that we must question apparent facts before making tough decisions. Recommended. 12 Angry Men by Reginald Rose, directed by Scott Ellis. Produced by Roundabout Theater and presented by Broadway in Chicago at the LaSalle Bank Theater, located at 18 West Monroe Street in Chicago, Illinois. Running time is 90 minutes with no intermission, now through February 11th. For tickets and more information, call 312-902-1400. Call 312-902-1400.
thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank George Wendt and Richard Thomas for allowing us the honor of interviewing them this week. I would also like to thank Mark Meyer and Tom Williams, without whom this podcast would not be possible. And of course, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.